glad he came after me, amen. Aren't you glad that God searched you out? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Now, keep in mind, we've been preaching about renewal, a time for renewal. Our key verse is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We talked about the fact that all renewal, everything about our renewal has to begin with what we think. It all starts there. We're not going to do anything beyond what we think. And so when we're talking about thinking about the things of God and doing the things of God, we need to understand that the first thing that really has to change is just the way we think. We need to be thinking about God's word. We need to be thinking about prayer. We need to be thinking about good things. We need to be thinking about the things that God has established in our hearts and in our life. Today, we want to talk about renewing our love and our desire for the word of God, our commitment to his word. Renew my commitment to his word. Now, many of us are probably sitting back and going, my commitment for the word of God is true. I stand on it. Everything I do, everything I say, everything about my life revolves around the fact that I am committed to his word. And we want to look at that today and see if that's truly the case. In Psalm 119, 105, I'm just going to key on this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we have no idea for sure who penned Psalm 119, but you can rest assured that the author is truly God. And I think that's what's important. Keep in mind, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So in Psalm 119, what we have is a passage that's represented by every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the author makes it very clear that God's law is the emphasis. And I believe he does every letter of the alphabet to make sure we understand that everything about his word is complete. And so he makes sure that we see it in every aspect of this. And he begins in verse 1 by basically telling us that God's law or his words are necessary if we're going to be undefiled by the world. He says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He tells us also that the author, those that penned this word in verse 147, he says that I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. So he studies God's word even before dawn. The very first thing he does in the morning, gets up, gets in God's word. And then he tells us that he meditates on it all through the day. He tells us in 97, he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then he tells us that he stops 7 times in a day just to praise God for his word. He says in verse 97, how I love thy law is my meditation all the day. I'm sorry, I just read that. 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. So he stops 7 times through the day and says, I want to praise God for his word. And then he tells us that he meditates on it in the nighttime as well. 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. And then he gets up at midnight every night again just to thank God for his word. In verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Now that all having been said, what does that say about how paramount the word of God ought to be in our life? I mean, how big should it really be in our life? Here, the writer of this tells us that, listen, I get up early in the morning, and the first thing that I do is study God's word. At nighttime, before I go to bed, the very last thing I do is study God's word. At midnight, I get up again just for the sake of just praising God for his word. 7 times through the day, I make sure that I stop and take some time to praise God for his word. And then not only that, but what I have read in the morning, what I read at night, I meditate on that all through the day so that I can think about it and always have God's word in my heart and on my mind so that through the day I can be the person that God wants me to be. So here's what we find in Psalm 119. The whole picture of Psalm 119 is to say, listen, the word of God ought to have such an impact on your life that it changes everything you do. That it makes an impact in the way you do things, the way you think about the things you do, and how you act all the way through the day. You ought to meditate on it, think about it. And he says, the word of God is what keeps me in the place that I ought to be. And so that's what he's telling us, and he tells us how big it is in his day and in his time. For this reason, we as a church, Hilltop Baptist Church, we're pretty adamant about preaching and teaching God's word. And we are because we understand and know how important it is. It's for this reason that we have Bible studies. It's for this reason that we have our Sunday school. It's for this reason that we incorporate it into various church ministries. You know, in a day where a lot of churches are closing down ministries, our Sunday school is not very well attended. Let's just get rid of it. Sunday nights are not very well attended. Let's just get rid of them. Let's turn our midweek service into just some home Bible studies and let that take place there. And while that's a good thing, it's good to study the Bible, it still pushes people away from the gathering together as a church body. And so what we find is this, is many churches are going backwards in studying God's word and pushing it away from us when we ought to be going forward and saying, hey, listen, let's study God's word together more. Let's make it a real part of our life. Let's make this something that we understand is important. When we preach and when we teach and when we have our Bible classes, when we have our Sunday school, we have our vacation Bible school, and anything and everything else we do, the focus ought to always be around God's word, because it's there that we find God's truths. So we need to get back to a place where God's word is so important to our life that we want to be renewed in that so that it becomes that real to us. You know, I notice from time to time, I get so caught up in good things that I sometimes get away from better things. Sometimes we get to thinking about all these things that can be done during the day and all these things that can be had, and we forget, wait a minute, we need to get back to God's word. I can't let that go for the sake of something else. I had one pastor tell me, he says, the reason that they had gotten, I asked him, I said, why did you get rid of your Sunday night service? He said, first of all, there's just nobody was coming. And we will all admit that's the least attended service of the week. But nonetheless, he said, we got rid of it because we decided it would be better to have family time. And I thought, how lame is that? Family's good. Don't get me wrong. Family's good. We ought to have family time. We ought to have time where we spend with the family and do with the family and function as a family. Whether it's a weeknight, whether it's Sundays, whether it's Saturdays, whatever it might be, have family time. Function as a family. God instituted the family, and it's important. Don't ever take away from the family. But here's the thing, is don't let something good take you away from something better. Because your family will mean nothing and be nothing if you don't incorporate God's word into it. And if God's word is so of such little importance that you want to lessen the amount of God's word in your family time, then you're going to suffer in the family. We'll talk about that more as we go. But what we want to understand is this, is we want to make sure that we are adamant about God's word. Now, considering all this, I want to go back to the verse that we started with, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we want to look at that and break it down into two different things. I want to preach on two different, just have 2 points today. Number one is we're going to talk about our walk in this dark world. Number two, we're going to talk about the lamp that lights our way. All right, so let's begin with our walk through this dark world. I got to tell you, there are a lot of dangerous obstacles going through this world. First of all, stumbling is a real problem in the dark. And by the way, in our house, it's a real problem. I don't know how many of you all like moving furniture, but my wife, I think she takes it on as a hobby. I mean, it's something. It's a challenge. What can I put in Barry's way this morning? You never know what our house is going to look like. If you don't turn on a light, you're just asking for trouble. And so you understand and know that it's necessary to have a light if you're not going to stumble through the darkness. If you want to be able to see where you're going so that you're not stumbling, so you're not hurting yourself, so that you're not bumping into things, you want to make sure that you have a light. I mean, how many times have you stubbed your toe or ran into a wall or tripped over something in the dark? It's not a pleasant thing. Well, without the light of God's word, that same thing actually happens to us spiritually. Without God's word in our heart and in our mind and continually thinking about it and having it as a very real part of our life, if we're not careful, we're just stumbling through the dark. And we need to have something very real in our life. You know, this will be on our sign if I get a nice day next week. I don't, just so you know, if the sign doesn't get changed like it should, I change the sign. I'm going to tell you now, I don't change it when it's real cold. It just stays up there because my fingers get really freezy. I've had times where I've had to jump back and forth out of the car, so just so you know. But eventually, this will be on the sign. But I've never stumbled spiritually by following God's word. It has never hurt me. It has never caused me to stumble. I stumble without God's word. It's always when I leave God's word behind that I have a real problem. I've heard people say, man, what kind of a fanatic carries a Bible everywhere he goes? But have you ever really heard anybody say, you know, what kind of a fanatic carries a flashlight everywhere he goes? I mean, we have flashlights everywhere. I don't know about you, but I want you to stop for just a moment. Are you such a safety fanatic that you have to have a flashlight everywhere you go? Stop and think. I have a flashlight on a refrigerator. We have one in the car. We have one on my phone. You know, as long as I've got my phone with me, I've got a flashlight with me. Some people have them, and I did for a while, had it on my keychain. We have night lights in our bathrooms. Part of that's because of Debbie's rearranging of the furniture. We have outside lights on our house that light up every time something walks by. They're all motion detected, you know. We have lights around the house. We have, every room is like your house. Every room's equipped with lights. You have a switch or you have a lamp or you have something. But all of your rooms in your house, probably your hallways and everything else equipped with lights. My car has interior lights. I have headlights. I got taillights. I got fog lights and lights that light up the dash and lights that light up the inside should I need them so I can. I think those are for reading maps that we never do anymore. But for whatever the case may be, I have lights everywhere. And it's not because I'm some type of phobiac, which is scared of the dark. But it's not because of that. It's because I don't like to stumble. I want to see where I'm going. How would it be if you didn't have lights on your car? Does anybody think you're a fanatic because you got headlights? Does anybody think you're a fanatic because you have lights in your house? Do people think you're a fanatic because your phone has a light on it? Do people think you're a fanatic because you have flashlight in your glove compartment of your car or because you have them on the side of your refrigerator? Do people think you're a fanatic because you have flashlights? I don't think so. I think the whole thing about this is that we understand and that we know that it's a safety hazard when we're trying to walk in the dark. And so we want light. We want to make sure we're able to see. The Word of God is our light in spiritual darkness. We are not a fanatic because we believe God's word is everything. We are not a fanatic because we believe that you ought to think about it and meditate on it, because you ought to have it memorized, because you ought to know God's word. We're not a fanatic because we understand and know how important it is in a spiritually dark world to be able to light up those things that are around us. The Bible is our light, and we don't need to stumble around needlessly when we have it available to us. Now, obviously, I can't commit myself to study or to know the whole Bible or even to carry it with me everywhere I go. Sometimes it's just not practical. Sometimes you just can't do it. But for that reason, he tells us to commit to memory the word. You know, I know that that's one of the key things in our Wednesday night program is doing our very best to commit our children to memory, to memorize the word. And it's important that we do that. One of the things that really kind of stood out for me when I was younger, my oldest daughter, Shanna, she began to memorize scripture. And I committed myself to memorizing what she was memorizing so that we could compete. For a little while, I did that. Then she memorized Isaiah 53. I'm like, okay, I'll try. And then she began to memorize chapters and chapters and chapters. And I'm like, okay, I'll commit myself to memory, but I think we've gone a little bit over my ability to memorize. But it was so important to instruct our children to memorize God's word that we committed ourselves to trying to do that. We do that in the church because we understand and know how important it is. It's the flashlight that they have in a spiritual world. It's so that they can detect the things that would cause them to stumble. It's so they can see the false doctrines and the false teachers. It's so they can know those things. We need to realize that the foe that's out there in front of us is a dangerous foe. We're not dealing, you know, with someone that's not dangerous. We're dealing with a dangerous, dangerous foe. Look at what the Bible says about it in Ephesians 6:12. You know this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's something about darkness that brings out the criminals. You know, the bulk of your crime is committed after dark. You do realize that. Nighttime, it's unseen. Be able to hide behind walls. Be able to hide in places that you can't normally see. And, you know, my curfew when I was a kid was when the streetlights came on. How many of y'all had that curfew? That was, yeah. You understand. Usually it's my people my age. But, yeah. Our curfew was when the streetlights came on. I grew up in Clifton. And we would be out playing on the streets, and we'd be out. And as soon as those street lights came on, I knew right away, Mama wants me home. Now, that was my cue. Why? Because she wasn't comfortable with me being out after dark. She wasn't comfortable with what was taking place on the streets after dark. As long as it was daytime, she felt like we could see, we could know, we could run, we could do whatever we needed to do. But in the dark, it's a little different situation. That's when the people came out that she wasn't all that fond of. And so what we find is the same thing is true spiritually. We realize that there are dangers in the darkness of this world, spiritual darkness. How do we combat that? How are we able to see those dangers by the light of God's word? You know, Wednesday evenings and during the Sunday school hour, we teach God's word because we have a high hope of people learning God's word and knowing its truth so that they can detect the enemy, so they know who to watch out for. Have you ever sat your children down and say, hey, listen, you know, stranger danger. Don't be talking to strangers. Do this, do that. I remember the first time that Shanna walked to school. Debbie wouldn't let her walk to school. And the reason she wouldn't is because she was afraid for her. So she always walked her to school. She finally said, hey, listen, I want to walk to school by myself today. I want to do it. I'm grown up enough. I want to do it. So she said, okay, go ahead and do it. Of course, you know what that means. All that means is she's trailing her by about 50 feet or so, hiding behind bushes and trees. That's really all that means. It's because we understand and know that we can watch out for them better than they can watch out for themselves. I got news for you. God can watch out for us better than we can watch out for us. So with that having been said, the means that we have for God to show us and the means that we have for God to help us to see is his word. It's the light. It's the light so that we can see the path. And we understand that. And we realize that you know what? We have to be that people that read God's word and study God's word and know God's word so that we can show it to others. We have to be even that light to a lost and a dying world, but we must first have that light shine within us. So I need to know those things. You know, many Christians endorse men and women who are preaching false doctrines, preaching and teaching false things, things that they ought not be following, things they ought not to hear. And a lot of it's because they have never really learned the truths. We need to know those truths. Our Sunday school class, the series we're doing right now, is one where we're basically just walking through and contending for the things of God, saying, here's the truth of God. Here's where we stand. This is why we believe this. This is why we teach this. This is why we do what we do. And so all of that is done so that we can be aware of those things. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, let me read this for you. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Peter 2:1. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Man, we need God's word to light the path because there are so many obstacles. There are so many folks out there teaching false doctrine, teaching things we ought not know, ought not to hear, ought not to see, teaching things that ought not be a part of our family and our teachings. And so what happens is this, is we understand and we know by God's word, we're able to light those things up and see the destruction in them. We need to know how damnable they really are. And we need to realize there are a lot of things being taught in this society and in this world that are leading people right to hell. And we have the light. We have the truth. And we need to know this truth. So we need to be renewed in this truth so we understand. You know, we need the Word of God to light a path so we can see the enemy. And we're not going to see the enemy without it. When Paul stood accused before Agrippa, when he stood accused before King Agrippa, he said that he was assigned a task by God. Now, when we think about the Apostle Paul, we think, what was it he was to do? He was basically an apostle to the Gentiles, right? That's not to say he didn't care about the Jews. He preached and taught the Jews as well. But he opened the door to the Gentiles, basically, and taught and preached to them, began churches and did mission work all through their land and all through the area as much as possible and opened the door for them. I mean, a lot of great things happened by Paul. But he ultimately tells King Agrippa exactly what it was that God had called him to do. And in Acts 26:18, he says, "This is what God called me to do, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So what is he saying? God called me to do this. Share the faith that's in me. Make sure they see the dangers of Satan. Open their eyes so that they might be able to see the forgiveness is in Jesus Christ, that they might be turned from light, from dark unto light. Folks, that's who we are. How is that any different than what we're to do? And if we don't absorb the Word, if we're not using the Word in our life and renewing ourselves to this place where the Word is that powerful and that strong and that important to us, how are we ever going to be the light in a dark world? How are we ever going to do that? You know, there's some dangerous deceptions that are out there. And the easiest way to deceive people is to remove God's Word. That's the easiest way. And if you'll notice, the first thing that always takes place in trying to deceive people is to remove God's Word. That's the key. How do you think schools have been successful to teach false doctrine? By removing God's Word. Take God's Word out of the schools. Now it's a lot easier to be able to do some of the things that we do. Take the Bible away from schools, and they can teach things like evolution, alternate lifestyles, disrespect for our leaders. All those things will be easily taught if you just get the Bible out of the way. Take the Bible away from our judicial system, and the laws are going to be very easily distorted because now we don't have the Bible as a reference point. Take the Bible away from our society, and our morals will be abolished. If you take the Bible away from society, it'll be easy to accept things like abortion, immoral lifestyles, homosexuality, disrespect for our national leaders, a self-centered entitlement generation of people will rise up. Why? Because we no longer have the Bible that sets a foundation, and so they're able to make their own rules. Take the Bible away from our homes, and the lines that establish family will be blurred. In fact, the husband and wife relationship will change. Male and female relationships will change. You know what I'm talking about. Parent-child relationships are going to change. Discipline and correcting our children are going to change if we take the Bible out of the home. Take the Bible out of our pulpits and our concept about who God is and what God does in our life, and what pleases God is going to be governed by our own desires rather than those that God has set forth in His Word. Paul tells Timothy there's only one way to combat that deception. But evil men, seducers, 2 Timothy 3:13-15. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Why is it the children have grown up in the truth, followed the truth, and then drifted away? Why is it that those things have happened? Suddenly, as an adult, they've decided they have a better way. Folks, don't be deceived. Stay true to the light. That's why I say we need to be renewed in the light of God's Word. Because what happens is, though we may have known the truth, we get away from it and find a better way. Oh, I can do it like this. I can do it like that. These are all perfectly acceptable things. No, they're not. We follow the light of God's Word. We get out of the light of God's Word, then we're in error. Let's talk about the lamp. that lights the way. God's provision is his word. That is the lamp. When we are in true need of spiritual renewal, it seems that one of the first things to go is God's word. We set it aside. Let me do a little test right now, and I don't want anybody raising their hand. Don't do that. Just think about it for a moment. I'll just throw a few things at you, talking about how important God's word is to you. Did you come to church today with or without your Bible? And when I say your Bible, I understand some of you guys use your phones and such. You know what I'm saying, God's word. Did you come to church today or did you not come with God's word? Did you even bother to open it? How often have you opened it this week? Did you read it, study it, meditate upon it this week? Has it made an impact on your life? You know, when you stop and think about how important God's word ought to be in our life, and we say it is, if we would stop and see how big a part it is in our life. You remember the writer of Psalm 119. He reads it in the morning, reads it in the evening. Throughout the day, 7 times he praises God because he gave it to him. We find that he meditates on it all day long. We find that he gets up at midnight just because he just needs to read it again. Just needs to think about it. How important is God's word to you? Is it so important that it has a prominent place in your life? That you have your Bible just about everywhere you go? You know, I got to tell you, at home I get kind of aggravated a little bit. Miss Penny, likes, she's at that age now where she likes to get into everything. And she likes to read. Read. She isn't even making sentences yet, but she likes to read, you know. So every book she finds, man, she's got it out there turning pages and looking through it. And I find my Bibles everywhere. It's like I have to hunt for them now. I didn't used to. I had one on my armchair. I have one on my table. I have one, you know, I've got Bibles everywhere. But every one she finds, she has to drag over to the same spot, stack them all together so that she can sit down and read them. I say that because that's how important it really ought to be to us. She comes down into my man cave, and one of the first things she does is start looking for them so she can stack them up together. Is it that important to us? Where the first thing comes to mind is, where's God's word? Where's the Bible? Where is it that I can read it today? You know, I find myself in the habit of walking into the house, and the first thing I do is go over and turn on the TV. Sit down, plop down, watch TV. And I think if I would dedicate that much time to God's word, commit that much time to just study and reading. Now, I do a lot of studying because I prepare for lessons and sermons and that kind of thing. But personal things, devotion time, time that just has nothing to do with what I'm teaching on Wednesday night, has nothing to do with what I'm teaching in Sunday school, has nothing to do with my Sunday morning, Sunday night sermon, but just something to do with me, something I need to hear, something I need to see. How much time do I commit to that so that God can just help me walk through this dark world in his light? Because there's a lot of deception, a lot of dangers, a lot of things that get in the way. You know, we think about the things that are going on in our society. You know, we preach God's word and tell folks to meditate on it. But how is it as a church that we utilize a lot of these things? You know, we have Sunday school, sure. I don't know what you know about Sunday school. It started in about the 18th century. You know, is it something that's out of the foundation of the early church? No, it didn't start until about the 18th century. And it actually started out as an actual school. It wasn't a Bible thing. It was all about just teaching them how to read and write, because in that day, a lot of the kids didn't attend school. They had to work at home. They had to work on the farms and that kind of thing. And so it came up with the idea. Robert Raikes started this. He was an Anglican, and he started this idea of bringing them in. And they used the church to do it, bring them into the church to teach them reading and writing, because these kids needed those things. But then a Baptist deacon by the name of William Fox came along. Leave it to a Baptist, turn something into something spiritual, amen. He comes in and begins teaching the Bible. Says, hey, let's take this opportunity not just to teach them to read and write. Let's use the Bible as the text. You know, it's kind of funny, but a lot of the things we make fun of, is it Appalachian or Appalachian, Irv? Appalachian with a small A, okay. A lot of the reasons we talk about talking like Southerners is because they cut their teeth learning how to read and write on the Bible. They did. And so they use the same vernacular, actually, as the Old English. They use it like Paul used it in our King James. You know, y'all, you know, and words like that and phrases like that they use, they learned from there. I reckon, we call those Southern words. No, they're actually Old English words. But what we find is this, is that he used the Bible in the 18th century as a part of their text, so that they began to learn and grow, and that Sunday school kind of hung on, stayed with them. By the time that Rakes died, it said that there's like 400,000 kids that were then being taught in Sunday school. We know what it is today. And today, it's a shame, but many churches are falling away from that, an opportunity to teach and to train up kids. In fact, when you go out on visitation or if you talk to folks, people my age, when you talk to them, if they're not in church today, they'll all tell you, but I used to go to church. I went to Sunday school. But you know, you don't get that as much today as what you used to get because it's not as big today as what it used to be. And now a lot of the people that you get, those that are 30-ish and so, you talk to them, and if they've not had church, they've not had Sunday school, they've not had VBS, they've not had anything. Gotten away from some of that. At least in my day, we grounded them in God's word somewhere. You know, we're big on trying our best to even bus kids in because we know how important it is for those kids to hear God's word. They're not going to get it anywhere else. Sometimes we fuss about the bus kids. They're too rowdy. They're too, you know, they're too this, they're too that. I got news for you. We might be their only light in this dark world. Folks, they're never too anything to hear God's word. We need to understand and we need to know how important it is. We encourage people to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. We might make the difference of their entire lifetime. A renewed commitment to do that which God has designed to do, and that is study his word. And whatever ministries we can do to do that, we need to do it. A renewed commitment for that. You know, we need to renew our commitment. We need to renew our commitment. Teachers, to our Sunday school, to our Bible study. How diligently do you study your lesson so that those kids can hear and know what they need to hear and what they need to know? We need that renewed commitment. John 5:39 tells us this, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to have that kind of a commitment to God's word. Folks, it's not just about us. It's about all of those we're about to reach and teach. Do we have that kind of commitment with our children? Do we have that kind of commitment in our Sunday school, in our Bible studies, in all that we do? Folks, it is a serious matter that we understand how important God's word is in our life. If we let God's word escape our lives, we're going to stumble through this world in darkness. We wonder why spiritual things don't happen the way they should. Maybe it's because we've left the light laying at home. Maybe the light's not a part of what we're doing. It's important that we focus on the Word of God. Let it be that light that shines in darkness. Let it be that light that lights our path so that we might not stumble. Bow your heads with us this morning. I want you to think about this with your heads bowed. How important has God's word really been in your life? I can tell you this, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did so by hearing his word. I know that because the Bible tells me that. I know that when we defend the truths that God has given us, we do so by standing upon his word. I know that the only truth that there is in this world is God's word. Let every man be a liar. I know that all that God says about him, about his son Jesus Christ, all that he says about our eternal home, all that he says about who we are to be is absolute truth because his word says so. His word is our foundation. We stand upon it. We hold to it. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. We need to stand where God would have us to stand and stand on it so much so that it's very real in our life. We meditate on it daily. We read it, we study it, we memorize it, we do all those things because we know how important it is. Today, if you need to renew your commitment on God's word, why don't you get it right with God today? Maybe you're looking at your life and you're going, you know what, I seldom ever pick up God's word. I sometimes will follow along in the sermons, but that's about it. Otherwise, I never even pick it up. I think that happens all too often. Let's renew our commitment to God's word. Dear Father, I pray today that you'll speak to our hearts and our lives, and regardless of what decisions we need to make today, I pray that we'll walk out of here today pleasing you. Lord, help us to do those things that you would have us to, and help us to stand on your word the way we ought to stand on it. We love you, Lord, and all you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Please stand if you would. You will need your hymn book for this, page 305. Jesus paid it all. God dealing with your heart today in any area of your life? Are your commitments to the things that God would have us to be committed to, are they real? Do you understand that this word is important and it is your light? Are you standing where you need to stand with it? Are you standing upon it? You know, today, when we're talking about God's word, there's nothing more powerful. You can't even separate God's word from God himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Amen.
Wow. You can't even separate it. With his word, he created all things. Just spoke it into existence. It's his word. How do we separate ourselves from that? Folks, if we are who we say we are, his word needs to be very real in our life. It is our light. Today, do you stand on his word, making the commitments, making the choices, making the decisions that you ought to make? Do you make them in a way that pleases him? Let's sing another verse, Randy. If there's any decisions today that need to be made, please don't hesitate. Let's get it right with God.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change.